The Bible reading is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 to 14. And this is on page 1153 in the Bibles in the pews. It's page 1153 and on the screen behind me. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to dumb idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them, and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free. And we were all given the one Spirit to drink, and so the body is not made up of one part, but of many. This is the word of the Lord. Thank you, God.
So we resuming our series on the Holy Spirit today at number 11. And we change tack quite heavily, in a sense, today. Because in the first part of this series, what I was wanting to do was to introduce, if you like, the teaching about the Holy Spirit, who the Holy Spirit is, what the Holy Spirit does, from across the Bible, and for us to think especially about who the Spirit is and what the Spirit wants to form in the followers of Christ. But the change I want to make at this point is to say, okay, but what does that mean on the ground? What does that mean when the rubber hits the road? What does that mean in practical terms as we seek to live Christian lives, as we seek to be Christ followers? So we're going to be thinking quite a bit in the next few weeks about the gifts of the Spirit in one way or another. Perhaps not in the way you've come to it before, but I hope that this will be helpful and profitable for us all. So we begin today, we're thinking about the Holy Spirit as the giving gift. The giving gift. In 1 Corinthians 12, that passage that Ian just read for us, it says there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but they all come from the same Spirit. There are different ways to serve the same Lord. And we can each do different things, yet the same God works in all of us and helps us in everything we do. The Spirit has given each of us a special way of serving others. Paul was speaking to a situation in Corinth where the church was not being united by the gifts that God seemed to have given them, but was by being divided by them, because people were trying to put status and attached status to different gifts. So they were saying, oh, you've got that gift, that makes you more important. Well, is that all you've got? Oh, never mind. You know, that was the sort of attitude that was going on. And the picture Paul gives later on in this chapter, you'll see from the bulletin, I was going to read the whole of this chapter, but I just thought, let's be sensible, let's just go for this first bit. But what Paul is going to say is the church is like a human body. And the human body is made up of different parts. You know this if you know anything about medicine and you know anything about the specialists in medicine. And there are some people whose specialism is the eye. And there are some people whose specialism is the ear. And there are some people whose specialism is the nose and the respiratory system. And there are some people whose specialism is the heart. And there are some people whose specialism is the liver. John Sayer's not here, but I would be pointing out that some people are specialists in kidneys. You know, every bit of us has a specialist attached to it in the medical profession. When one part of the body is ill, it has a detrimental effect on the whole part of the body. I mean, anybody who's just broken a finger, which is not exactly the most major thing to happen in the world, knows that actually in the agony of the moment, it's all consuming. And we are only truly healthy when every bit is working properly as it was designed to work. Now that's what we know about the body. Now there are some bits of the body that are external, and we talk about the somebody's eyes as being beautiful, or they have a beautiful smile. I'm sure somebody must talk about somebody having a beautiful nose, though that tends not to be what they say about noses. But you know, there's something about each of us. And what I'm trying to get hold of here is the fact that we need all the bits working for the human body to be working properly. A diseased kidney means that the body is not working properly. A diseased eye means the body is not working properly. But if the worst came, if I lost an eye, I could carry on living quite happily. If both my kidneys stopped functioning, I would not be living quite happily. I would be dying. And Paul says, you know, there are bits of the human body that are attractive, more attractive than others. And we tend to think, oh, isn't it awful if somebody suffers a facial disfigurement or something? But actually, he says, you know, the bits which you really, I mean, who wants to look at a kidney? You know, but who, I mean, there will be people here who love watching surgery on television. But equally, I'm sure there are people here who would turn their eyes away as soon as there was surgery. We don't want to see what's on the inside, thank you very much. We're just happy to know it's there and that it's chugging away. But don't need to see it to know that, thank you. So some bits are more attractive, and you don't mind looking at somebody's eye. I mean, preferably when it's in place. Their smile of blazing white teeth, you know, and all that sort of stuff. That's okay. But Paul says it's a bit like that with the gifts. We tend to think of some things are more acceptable and others are behind the scenes and don't really seem to add up to much. But actually, take the ones behind the scenes away and you've got no life. take the people who do the work behind the scenes in a church away, the church has no life. Because the people on the front end need the people on the back end to make it all work. It's a very, very simple picture he gives us. And he says, therefore, don't start writing off people because they've not got the same gifts as you. Don't write off people because they're the first people into the kitchen to do the washing up after the church has had a great fellowship event. You know, they're the people you need. Love them. But the Spirit comes to give gifts to each of us so that we can be the people God wants us to be, which is a people who act as the body of Christ in the world today. And there are two things that we discover about the Spirit. First of all, that the Spirit is a gift to us. Just as Jesus was a gift to us when he came into the world, when he grew, when he went on his ministry of teaching and healing, doing miracles, and then in the end he ended up on the cross, put to death to pay the price for our sin, and then he rose again. That was God's gift to us, but so was the Holy Spirit. I will send you the Spirit who comes from the Father and shows what is true. That's Jesus' promise. I'm giving you this gift. The Spirit will help you and will tell you about me, Jesus. And then you will also tell others about me because you have been with me from the beginning. So the Holy Spirit's going to come to you, tell you about Jesus, and then he's going to include you in that work so that you can join him in telling about Jesus. That's what the body of Christ is to do. And every gift of the Holy Spirit is given to enable the church to fulfill that end of making Jesus known, which is the work of the Holy Spirit. Another thing we learn a bit later from Jesus himself. He says, he, the Holy Spirit, will glorify me, Jesus, because it is from me he will receive what he will make known to you. What the Holy Spirit gives to us comes from Jesus. It's Jesus' gift to you. So this word gift is going to come up all over the place in the next few weeks. Now, when you think of the act of giving, it requires two things. Well, no, actually, it requires three things. One is the gift. But it needs a giver, and it needs a recipient. A gift is only a gift if somebody is giving it. And it's not really achieved its purpose as a gift unless it is received. And one could also say, unless the ribbon is taken off, the top of the box is taken off, and what is in the box is taken out and used. I mean, who hasn't got a pack of socks in the bottom of their drawer somewhere that Uncle Frank gave you 7 Christmases ago, you know? And they've never been taken out and never been used. Great, they were a gift, they were received, but, you know, they're only really worth anything as socks when you put them on your feet and walk in them. Tom Smale wrote a book called The Giving Gift about 30 years ago, I think he wrote this book. He says this, and if you don't understand all of this, don't worry, just filter it. Let what you don't understand just go. It won't cause you a great problem. The Holy Spirit is the giving gift. First question, what does the Holy Spirit do within the God-man relationship? Answer, he gives the things of God and the things of Christ to us. Second, who is the Holy Spirit? Answer, within the God-man relationship, he's the one who is given to us by the Father and the Son, and within the life of God, he is the gift of the Father to the Son, and the responsive gift of the Son to the Father. That may be getting a bit deeply theological, so let me move on. He then goes on to say, to describe the Holy Spirit as gift emphasizes that we're in the realm of dynamic relationships. The movement from a giver to receiver, the opening up of one person to another. We're concerned with the impartation of life, truth, love, and power from divine persons to human persons, with the self-giving of God to man that evokes the responsive self-giving of man to God. In other words, he says, it's this simple. God loves to give gifts to his children, and he gives his gifts to his children through the Holy Spirit. But for that to be complete, we need to be a people who are ready to take and receive and to use. Now, I want to show you 7 illustrations. They're numbered, so you can remember each one clearly. And at the end, and only at the end, Hilary, do I want you to tell me what you've seen. Okay? So here is number 1. Look at it carefully. Number 2. Number 3. Number 4. Number 5. Number 6. And number 7. Okay? There you are. So, what have you seen in those pictures? Absolutely nothing, that's right. Spot on. Absolutely nothing. Total darkness. Now, I'm going to show you some pictures now, and I don't know if there's anybody here who's going to be that interested in them, because Chris Hodgson and Jonathan Meller and people like that aren't here this morning. But let me show you some pictures. Just look at these. They will be swooning by the end of this next section, I tell you. Floodlights. Floodlights. Rig for a music concert. All the lights. A floodlight. A spotlight. Right? Isn't that interesting? Isn't that great? Let me show you those 7 pictures again. This time with the lights turned on. You may recognize that as a local landmark. And you wouldn't see much on the pitch at night if it wasn't for the floodlights. But do you go to the match to see the floodlights and say, hey, aren't these great floodlights? No, you don't. You go to the match to see the match. But you wouldn't see the match if you didn't have the floodlights. Rock concert. And, you know, these days at these sort of events, the lighting is almost as important as the performance. Spring Harvest in the Big Top. There, Gavin Calver this year at Spring Harvest teaching. Durham Cathedral by night, illuminated by floodlights. And when they have the Durham illuminations, this is the year that they had the Lindisfarne Gospels actually in Durham at the time. The Durham Cathedral as a backdrop for that beautiful art, Middle Age artwork. and at the theatre. You see, go into the theatre, pretty well any proper theatre, and it's pitch black, so that the whole atmosphere can be created by the lighting. You see nothing in there at all. It's really creepy to be in a theatre with the door shut and no lights on, especially until they put the exit lights on. They give a bit of illumination, but the lighting makes all the difference. All of a sudden you can see what's going on. And so it is in all these examples. You need the lights to show you. And I labour this illustration a bit just to say that the Holy Spirit is the floodlight of God. The Holy Spirit is not particularly concerned about being put on a pedestal and praised himself. Holy Spirit is concerned that we should see Jesus, God's Son, and understand what the nature of God is as a result of seeing Jesus, and understand what he has to say into our lives. So the Holy Spirit comes along and floods the darkness with light. So he sheds light on the fact that God is a creator. And then he puts light on us and shows us how men and women have been separated by God, from God, by their sin. And that sin is falling short of God's glory. It's not living life to the full as God designed it to be lived. It's when we are not living according to his way, when we're not caring for others. It's so many things. But it's not living in accord with the will of God. And when that happens, we become separated from God, and life itself ceases to be anything like God intends it to be. And then the spotlight picks out three crosses on a skyline and says, God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in me should not die or perish, but have eternal life. I want you to see that God cares so much about you in your lostness that he's provided a way for you not to be lost, to be found, to be reunited with God, to live with him for eternity. And the Holy Spirit says, as God's floodlight, this cross is the one way to the Father. This is the one way you can be sure of where you're going beyond this life, into life eternal with Jesus as he rises from the tomb. And we perceive all that. And it becomes real in our hearts because of the work of the Holy Spirit, who is like the floodlight. Paul says earlier on in the same letter, 1 Corinthians, he says, do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. Allow the Holy Spirit to illuminate these things. Accept what the Holy Spirit shows you. Walk in the way of Christ. And then you will fulfill God's plan for creation. And I think for us as Christ followers, that command, honour God with your bodies, also means that if we're going to honour God with our bodies, we're going to honour God by recognizing that our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit has a job to do. And the job to do is to put light on Christ. And we are vessels of the Holy Spirit, so we cannot live in harmony with God if we're not living in harmony with the Spirit, if we're not witnessing to Jesus Christ as our Lord and Saviour, day by day. And we do that through the gifts God has given us by His Spirit. We have hope, and hope doesn't put us to shame. God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given us. As we live lives of hope, as we live abundant lives, we make Jesus known. May the hope, God of hope, fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So back to 1 Corinthians 12 and that line, the Spirit has given each of us a special way of serving others. But we're all serving to the same end, which is to make Jesus, the Saviour of the world, known to the world, that people can embrace Him and follow Him. There are various ways of serving Him, and I didn't know quite where to put this in this morning, but I needed to somewhere. And I just want to mention the turning. There's an event coming up in Newcastle and there's a note about this in your bulletin. Look at it later. But if you want to know more, then there are some leaflets like this on the front row here, the turning, and it's an evangelistic outreach. It's an opportunity for people to go out on the street to share Jesus, to lead people in a prayer, which is then followed up evangelistically. Now, it all rests on the fact, and what is almost compulsory, is that the night before you go out on the street, you are at their worship session, because it rests on having spent time with God in worship, and then the following morning you do an hour's training and worship and fellowship, and then you go out on the streets for an hour, and then that evening there will be worship again. If you want to know more about it, there are leaflets here, and if you put the Turning Newcastle into Google, it will send you in the right direction, because you have to book to be part of it through the organisation Eventbrite. This gets very complicated, but I won't say any more than that at this moment. But I just want to show you a video of some people who were involved. We are not actually, this time, as a church, signing up to this. But we recognize that there may be individuals who wish to. And we're not doing it at this moment because, actually, all the information has come to us too late to really be able to do it properly. And for the same reason, the Bay and Acorn are not doing it either. But we're all committed to the idea of doing it at a time when we can be ready to do it properly. But there may be people who want to go and get the experience. And it's one way of being part of the floodlight of the Holy Spirit, shining a light on Jesus and how we can respond to Him. Thank you, David.
So I said, okay, this prayer is a prayer of salvation. Are you ready to get saved? He said, yes, he's ready.
People keep saying, yes.
And they both gave their lives to the Lord, 2 17-year-olds, yeah.
But this guy was just waiting for us, really. He literally was sitting there waiting for us, so that was so easy.
And I prayed with him, and he prayed the prayer as well.
I'm 15, me and my mom and sister just led 6 people to Christ for this first time.
He was seated and he just went through the script so easily.
I said, would you like me to pray for you? Yes. And then after that, would you like to make the, say the prayer of commitment? And he said, yes.
And he said, hi, he's an imam. And I said, no problem. Even if you're an imam, I'm here to present the good news to you. That's why Jesus has sent me, to come and present salvation to you. He said, I should go on. So he said this prayer after me. And after that, I congratulated him and said, you're now a born-again Christian.
We prayed the prayer. She prayed the prayer of commitment, prayed for her and her family, and she gave us contact details as well. So that was the very first one. So it was like,
this thing about being in God's presence has just changed my heart. And out on the street today, I could just go and talk to people like I've never, ever done in my life.
Since this outpouring began, many thousands of Christians have encountered God in fresh ways, received a boldness to share their faith, and been trained in how to lead others to Christ. Multitudes have responded to the gospel on the streets as ordinary Christians have been empowered and equipped to talk about Jesus. What began as a mission in a small Baptist church in Reading appears to be a move of God that will impact the UK and beyond.
Have laptop back. Thank you, David. The Holy Spirit's on the move and he wants the people of God to be using the gifts he wants to give them. That's just one example. And there are lots of gifts. This Wordle shows all sorts of gifts of the Spirit. Administration, service, intercession, tongues, giving, prophecy, hospitality, evangelism, healing, helping, grace, encouragement. We're going to be looking at some of that in these coming weeks. But the fundamental question for us to answer as we go into this, and the way God is going to use this, is if we are willing to be part of the Holy Spirit's floodlight project to lift Jesus high. What Jesus has done for us. And I encourage you this morning to consider, will you come in these coming weeks as we think about these things, ready and open to receive from God and to go where he takes you with what he gives you? And if you have never yet made a commitment to Jesus, if you haven't said, I don't know what, Jesus, I want to be your follower. I need you. I need the forgiveness of my sin. I need your abundant life. Then there'll be an opportunity afterwards. I'm going to ask some folk to just come and sit on the front row here. You know who you are, who are part of the prayer ministry team. And if you want to, they'll be here, so you can just come up to them and say, hey, can I just talk to you about this? After the service, we don't apply pressure, we just give the opportunity. So let's pray together. Father, thank you for the giving gift who is the Holy Spirit, who shows us the love of Jesus and speaks to our hearts and our minds and our souls and our physical strength of our need for that love and our need to engage with that love and return it. Just be with us now in this moment of quiet. Help us to hear your voice as you say to us, are you ready? Are you willing? Are you open? Will you follow? And give us the grace by that same Spirit to say, yes, Lord, I'll go with you. In the name of Christ. Amen.